we're back. Stripe Show Podcast presented by Access Golf. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. It is good to be back in the saddle. Stripe Show Podcast back in 2026. I'm excited. We were supposed to have Adam Schreiber on this week. Little snowstorm hit the north. And so he's got a few moving parts going on up there this week, but we are going to get him on. It looks like for next week, we are going to do all things Adam Schreiber, his work with JJ Spahn, the U.S. Open champion last year, the growth that he has made with his game. I'm really excited to have Adam on. In fact, I was supposed to have him on last year, but he had to have hip surgery. So here we are going into this year, and then we get this big snowstorm. So I don't know. Maybe it's just not meant to be, but we're gonna make it happen. He's gonna be on. There's gonna be a lot of coaches on. You know how we do it here at the Stripe Show Podcast. We'll bring you the best coaches, and we'll go deep into the world of instruction. My plan this year is to factor in a little club fitting as well. My partner here in the studio, True Spec Golf, the best in the business. Clay Joyner, my fitter, the best in the business. We'll be getting them on as well, and we'll get into a little bit of club fitting and just all the other parts of the game, the fitness, the mental side. We'll go deep. That's how we do it here. Educational. We'll have some fun doing it. I'd love to see your swing start flowing back in. You can email me, travis@travisfultongolf.com. Show us your swing is coming back. Today, I'm going to share with you one of my students, some things that we're working on, and a pattern that I see a lot. And so we'll get to that here momentarily. I appreciate the support. A lot of people reaching out, asking, hey, when the podcast coming back? We miss it. And I had to take a few months there to establish some things here in Northeast Florida. So just a few minutes here on what I've been doing over the last 3 or 4 months. It's been great growing the brand here in Jacksonville, in Ponte Vedra. As many of you know, this is my Ponte Vedra studio. Opened this about 3 years ago. It's going great. Private lessons are fantastic. The junior program, it's been unbelievable. I got to tell you, if you're a parent and you have a young kid and you want to get them into the game, starting them indoors, it's been cool to see. It's been really cool to see with the simulation here in the back, the putting greens, you know, just kind of more of the controlled environment. They really react to the simulator. And I've seen a lot of kids come in here, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And they get started in here and they fall in love with the game. They like it. It's a great experience. My director of golf, Dave Myers, does a great job. But the growth here just indoors has been astronomical. It's been fantastic. So we're excited about the junior program here. I talked about the club fitting. And then, you know, from here, we had an opportunity last year to expand downtown Jacksonville. And so I jumped on that, did a partnership down there with the Akram Group, the River Place Tower right there in the South Bank. Beautiful skyscraper overlooking the city right there on the St. John's River. If you follow me on my platforms at Travis Fulton Golf, Instagram, you see a lot of those pictures. And so we've been open now for 3 months. It's going great. Tom Murtaugh, an exciting, really good young teacher, you know, coming on and just doing a terrific job down there. Very busy, worked with a lot of talented junior players. He can develop adults, gets into the beginners, men, women, you name it. He is doing it and doing a great job down there with my downtown studio. And the vision really, as many of you know, in starting this, after I left you know, Golf Channel there a few years back, I wanted to do something, you know, on my own, right? And obviously have it under the Travis Fulton brand and, you know, starting with this indoor facility and then the opportunity downtown to be able to take the instruction down there, to be able to take the club fitting down there. But more than that, have an impact in the corporate entertainment world. And so we're really pushing out now and utilizing this place, which is just unbelievable. 4,700 square feet, this terrific conference room. You can seat up to like 50 people, this amenity bar area that rolls over to the golf area and the simulator and the putting greens. I mean, it's really good size and you can just do some awesome corporate entertainment from, you know, offsite meetings to happy hours, holiday parties. I mean, you name it. The team building aspect of it with the golf undertones is really cool. And so to see that come to life and now to push out and have the corporate entertainment side interacting downtown has been really cool. In conjunction with that, I got a great opportunity there late summer to join Deerwood Country Club, which is a terrific premier country club here right in the center of Jacksonville. And so to do a partnership with them has really brought it full circle. And so now the two studios interacting with the academy, the Green Grass Academy at Deerwood, has just been awesome. And Mark Tello, my head instructor there, just won the Chilean Open for the fourth time. Terrific player, terrific teacher. I mean, it's just been a dream come true. So to have him join the team, to have Deerwood Country Club, this premier place, be our centerpiece and the green grass for the studios to interact with, it's just been awesome. You know, it's just been awesome. So to be a part of that team and to see that come to light over the last few months, and then, of course, our partnership with Fourscore, which is another great place here, indoor place with multiple simulators, couple different facilities, you know, bringing on Jace McCarron. He's been running that operation. You know, like we're a full business now. And it's been a lot of work, but all I'm feeling is just, you know, unbelievable appreciation, you know, and gratitude. I feel fortunate to be where we are and the opportunities that have come to us over the last 6 months. So that's what I've been doing is, you know, kind of building that, the brick and mortar. We're in a great spot. We got a great team. We just added Angela Sheehan, a female instructor, a great player, tons of experience in teaching. We just launched the ladies program there at Deerwood in conjunction with the after school that we took over there, the camps, the private lessons, true spec fitting over there. You know, it's just been a full menu across all of these facilities. So good stuff. I'm ready to get back into the saddle now. All systems go. Facilities are up and running. We've got a great team. And now it's time to get back to doing some content. Stripe Show Podcast is back, and we're going to be doing probably, you know, 2 to 3 a month, somewhere in there, bringing the top teachers on. Adam Schreiber, he's going to join us. It's going to be next week, but for today, I'm going to share some things with you that I think will be helpful in just kind of the overall organization of the swing, some things to think about in a pattern, a particular pattern that I see a lot here in the studio. Before we get to that, we'll talk about professional golf just for a few minutes. The PGA Tour, lots of things happening there, and I think good things. Some of the new leadership now coming in. I think the emphasis on where they're going, I think from a schedule standpoint, I think in the end is going to be a very good thing. I think there's going to be a few bumps along the way. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Hawaii. Obviously, the PGA Tour kicks off this week at Sony. There was no Kapalua this year, but what's the future for Hawaii? I think there's going to be some questions on what is the future for some events, some different events that maybe we've been used to over the years. But I think at the end of the day, what I hope we'll see, and I think what we will see, is we'll see the schedule shrink a little bit. The PGA Tour, if you follow me and you listen to the podcast, you know that I've always been one to think that there's just way too many tournaments. I think that the PGA Tour and the amount of tournaments, it got watered down. And I think it hurt them and exposed them a little bit when LIV came on. And some of those weaknesses, you know, maybe were a little bit more apparent. But I've always thought there's just too many tournaments. I love golf. I love watching golf. But I think like anything else, you need a break. And I think it helps the demand of it the next time that it comes around. And when you, it just got to the point when you were turning on the PGA Tour, you really didn't know for the casual fan, you didn't really know who was going to be playing. You know, well, who's playing this week? Is it an elevated event? Is it not a signature event? There's just so many moving parts. And the one thing that I've always appreciated about the NFL, and I think has a lot of value, and it makes you think, is when you turn the NFL on, the game on, you know that you're going to get the stars. You know who the faces are. You know who the names are that represent the individual teams. And so there's no question mark. You know what the product is when the NFL is on. One of the things that hurts the NBA is load management. You don't know, right? Well, is he going to play or is he not going to play? You know, it's a back-to-back game. Some guys don't play back-to-back. And so it throws that wrench in it. And I think from a viewership standpoint, it hurts them, right? That load management aspect of it, because you don't really know exactly what you're going to be getting always when you turn the NBA on. And I think it got to that a little bit with PGA Tour and then some, because this is over, you know, 11, 12 months. And who's playing? You know, is Scheffler in the field? Is JT in the field? You know, what is it? Right. So I think it got watered down. I think they're going to shrink it. And I think that there's going to be more of a demand when they do play. And I think we know who's going to be playing more consistently. And there's going to be a little bit of rhythm to it for the casual fan. And I think that's a good thing. I think there's going to be an off season. I think there needs to be an off season. Let these guys recharge the batteries a little bit. Let us take a step away and then want to have a demand for it when it comes back, whether it starts in Hawaii or not. So I like that. I also like the fact that they're leaning into a little bit of some of these guys coming back. I think LIV Golf, Brooks Koepka leaving was a major dagger for them. The LIV Golf was able to establish itself quickly because of the amount of money that they spent, right? And so the amount of money that they spent, they were able to go out and get Bryson and get Rahm and get Phil and get DJ and get Brooks. So they were able to get a little bit of credibility right out of the gate because they could buy players. Brooks Koepka got paid and now is elected to come back. And when you think about it, it's really perhaps the first decision an athlete has made where it wasn't about the money. When you think about it, I mean, everything's about the money, right, these days. Everything. Not just in pro, but in college now, in collegiate sports. And so you make decisions primarily about how much money it is. Brooks is coming back. He's going to pay a hefty fine. Many perhaps would say he needs to pay more, but he's going to pay a hefty fine. I mean, we're talking, what, 60, 70, 80 million in the end. Now, he's going to be just fine. I mean, he's got a lot of money in his account. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be just fine. But he made a decision to come back to the PGA Tour that wasn't about money. He's not going to be making more money in the next, whatever, 2 to 3 years. He's going to probably lose some of that money. And so it's interesting, right, how the tide has changed. And when you say that out loud and that Brooks is coming back and it's not about the money, it's about playing on the PGA Tour. And so it's a big dagger for LIV. You know, I really think it is. I'm not a huge LIV fan. You know, I'm a fan of Rahm. I'm a fan of Bryson. I'm a fan of some of these guys. And I miss watching them play on the PGA Tour. But just the LIV in itself and what it stands for, the way that it was built, the way that it's established, the way that it presents itself, the whole bit, I just don't think it's great for professional golf. I just don't. I don't think it's been a good thing. Now, maybe, you know, there's a lot that think it is. And for its you know, impact across the world, so be it. I think I'm sure there are some good things. But I just think my gut and from what I've seen from it and how it's been established and how it's been ran, it just doesn't feel right. You know, it just doesn't feel right to me when it comes to a legitimate tour that's trying to get credibility and respect across the country. Now, it sounds like it has got some respect across the country in many areas, which is great. But I think where it counts the most right here in the homeland to the PGA Tour and the players, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks, really, because this olive branch that's been put out from the PGA Tour is, you know, I think there's a window there, right, for them to take advantage of it. So, you know, Bryson has come out and John has come out and said, hey, no, I'm here for 2026 under contract. But we know that doesn't mean anything. I mean, we know John Rahm said kind of the same things when on the PGA Tour. And then what, 2 weeks later, he's, you know, he's over to LIV. You know, you really can't believe anything that you hear anymore. I mean, you really can't. I mean, because the money is so strong that people are going to leave when enough money is thrown at them. What's different here is that it's not about the money, right? It's about getting back to the PGA Tour and playing against the best players in the world again on a consistent basis and building your resume and building your legacy on what matters, in professional golf, if that matters to you. And it may not. It may not to some. It certainly didn't to Dustin Johnson. And it certainly did to many. So, you know, what happens over the next few weeks, we'll have to wait and see. But I like what I'm seeing from the PGA Tour. I think there's a lot of good momentum happening there. I do think there's going to be a few bumps along the way in the scheduling, but I think condensing it's the right thing. Brooks coming back is a big win. Have to see what happens to John and Bryson, because that's really what it comes down to. I mean, Cam Smith would be great, but look, Bryson, John, those are the two. I think you lose another one of them. All right, what do you have? I mean, you've got a mid-tier league at that point, right? And look, you can go out and you can go out and have your success in different regions and grow the game. I think that's great. But you're not a powerhouse when it comes to professional golf. You're just not. You're not close to the competition and what the PGA Tour is. You're just not. You can say you are all you want. You can send memes out there and troll all you want. But at the end of the day, it's just not the case. And I think that the realization of that is coming front and center for a lot of the players that left. All right. So that's a few thoughts there on the PGA Tour. Next week, we're going to talk to Adam Schreiber. One of the guys that didn't leave was this guy, JJ Spahn. I'm sure he had some money thrown at him. And for those that are watching on YouTube, you can see I got a swing here of JJ up. You know, it's interesting, and I'll talk to Adam about this. You know, JJ, when you look at him statistically, right? Because really, you know, you want to move the needle for these guys statistically. Like, you want to be able to show them. Like, oh, yeah, I feel like I'm hitting it better. I get it. But you look at JJ statistically. In 2022, strokes gained approach, he was 84th on the PGA Tour. 23, he's 51st. 2024, he's 17th. Last year, he's 5th. That's strong. That's strong improvement right there. Every single year for the last 4 years, this guy became a better iron player. I've always thought JJ had one of the most sound swings. I mean, I just love this guy's swing. And for those that are watching on YouTube, and as we go along here, I encourage you to join at Travis Owen Golf YouTube channel, because we're going to be putting out a lot of stuff. There's going to be some instruction stuff within the podcast that we're going to be talking about in there as well. Not just the breakdown of professional players and talking to the coaches, but just some general instruction stuff as well. Show us your swing. We'll be a platform of that, which we'll get to here momentarily. But you look at this swing here of JJ. I mean, it's just up the plane, face square, right wrist bent, left wrist flat. Club comes down the plane, rotates left. Club exits back on the left, not a lot of face rotation. I mean, it's just simple, right? Like, if you just had to, like, create a kind of a model swing for amateurs that you could kind of pick and choose from components, I think this would be one of them that I would pick right here. What's fascinating about JJ, there's two things that really stood out to me when I was looking at stats. One was the improvement of his iron game. Like, that was number one. The second was his driver distance. And here's his driver swing. And you look at the swing, and what I love about this with JJ is the swing looks the same. It's just a different setup, right? Like, you just look at JJ, and he's like, yeah, it just goes up and down the plane the same way. The club face looks the same. Wrist angles look the same. Exit plane looks the same, right? The body movements look the same. All of those things. It all looks the same. It's just a different setup. Ball's more forward. He's more behind it. And off he goes. So, you know, JJ, the second stat that really jumped out to me was his distance last year. How far did JJ Spahn hit his driver last year off the tee on average? 306 yards. God, really? I would have said like 298, 306. Man. See, when people tell you that they hit at 300, they don't hit at 300. They may have hit at 300 once, right? They may have hit at 300 once, but when they say, yeah, I hit the ball 300. Now, there's some that do. I get it, right? I've got a couple that come in here, a couple of these athletes, you know, Jaguars and whatnot. I mean, they hit a 300. I got a baseball pitcher that I work with from Baltimore. Well, he pitches for the Baltimore Orioles. And that dude, like, just falls out of bed and hits a 300 yards. I mean, you want to talk about a big guy, limber, external rotation, using the – I mean, it is like, what? I mean, he just bunts at 310. So there are those. But you know who I'm talking about, right? You know who you are. You're probably listening. Like, yeah, I hit a 300. Yeah, okay. You hit a 300 once. This dude, 306 on average. 41st on the PGA Tour. 40 guys bombing it past him. So JJ, you know, look, I mean, he's going to be a fun one to talk to with Adam Schreiber. And, you know, look, his swing, I think is one that we can relate to too. So it'll be fun to break that down with him. Now, I did this video on JJ after he won the US Open. Okay. And so I want you to watch this video. I posted this on Instagram, and this is about his putting, because I want to get to this here today as well. JJ's improvement with his ball striking, we're going to break that down. But JJ becoming a much better putter, okay, was the main reason why he had the year that he had last year and won the U.S. Open, which was the second win on the PGA Tour. Check this video out.
Found one of the U.S. Open, and JJ Spahn opens up with a 66, no bogeys, 26 putts. That's it, 26 putts around Oakmont, and yet another player who goes to Lab Golf and starts making everything. JJ, a couple things about his stroke. He's also a guy that goes left-hand low. Now, I like left-hand low for those who tend to break down at impact. Okay, a little flippy at impact. Also, I like it for those who get a little tilt, or maybe the right side gets a little too dominant and on top. That left-hand low builds up that lead side, a little firmer through the stroke, but it also levels out the shoulders, and it squares up the shoulders. I love that about JJ's putting setup. And then from there, like JJ, wait a little left, backstroke a little longer than the forward stroke, and I bet you start making more putts, just like JJ Spahn with Lab Golf.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, Lab Golf has been a partner of mine for, what is it now, the last 3 years. And I couldn't be happier for them and the success that they're having. And they deserve it because their product's great. Now JJ used the DF3. But how many times over the last couple of years did you listen to me on this podcast? And how many times did I tell you Lab Golf is making a difference? These putters are great. How many times? And I'm not trying to sell these putters right now. They're my partner, but I'm just saying, even before they weren't, I was like, there's something going on here, right? I mean, this zero torque and the way they go about this, there's something going on. Well, JJ switches over, and he too, like Lucas Glover, like Will Zalatoris, just like that, starts putting better. And he wins. Like Johnny Vegas, wins. So it's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. And JJ's a left-hand low putter. And, you know, it's interesting. I get the question a lot, like, should I consider left-hand low? Should I consider moving my, you know, left hand down? I'm going to tell you why I like left-hand low, some of the reasons why, okay? And I'm not saying that it applies to everybody. I'm just saying these are some of the reasons that I would consider it for certain people. One of them, when you go left-hand low, is it lowers your left shoulder down, okay? I like to see the shoulders relatively level. You don't have to be there. Brad Faxon certainly wasn't there. But I like to see the shoulders relatively level. I see sometimes conventional, you'll see some of the tilt that you see in the swing. And I don't know, not a huge fan of that in general, right, for most amateurs. So that left hand low will lower the shoulder down. When you lower the shoulder down and you kind of put a little more weight left, it can kind of suggest the handle maybe lean a touch more forward. And it starts to give the player the feeling that the putter head's working a little more up and then down. And I think for a lot of amateurs, that's a good thing. Not for everybody. Again, there's some people who swing a little too much up and down. They swing a little too out. I see a lot of putter heads that swing in and low, like the golf swing, which I'll show you here in a second. I see a lot of putter heads that swing too far in and really low to the ground. So it's on an arc, it's low, it's under the plane, and then as it works back around the other side, you see a lot of face rotation, or you see the left shoulder kind of popping up. They hit it low on the face. And so when you go left hand low and you drop the shoulder down, you move their weight left and the putter head starts to swing a little more up and down. I hear that the putter head is moving a little more down. It's not, I mean, it's moving more down, but but if you measured it, it's still pretty level or a slight ascend, but it feels more down. And that impact point on the face really improves, right? And so that's a big reason right there alone that I would consider left hand low if that maybe it applies to you. And then the obvious is, you know, the breakdown in the lead wrist. You see a lot of players, you know, they flick it and the left wrist goes into extension quite a bit. Putter head again swings up. And so you see a lot of that early release, not enough shaft lean. And so you get in there and you show them left hand low. And again, now that the shaft lean becomes a little more present and that can help build up the lead side, so it doesn't break down, and then they start to get better face control. And so those are a couple reasons, I think, to consider left-hand low. What's fascinating, I'll share a story. For me, my putting, I go back and forth still to this day. Even when I was young, I can remember times putting left-hand low. And I would say I putted left-hand low primarily 70% of the time. But I would putt left-hand low, and I would get it going. I'm like, man, I can't imagine doing anything different. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, like I almost feel like sometimes I got a little bit too left. I got a little too rocky, like my shoulder started rocking too much, a little too much up and down. And so I would go to conventional. And as I went to conventional, it would decompress that and it would get me, you know, a little more level, or get my shoulders to work a little more level versus up and down. And you can see me kind of demonstrating that. And so I'd go to conventional and bring me back to the middle, but then eventually I'd almost feel like I'd go too far that way. And then I'd go back to left-hand low. So it's like, you know, I almost felt like I kind of went back and forth a little bit. But I think in general, I putted better left-hand low. And JJ Spahn putting left-hand low with the DF3, man, what a difference. What a difference that made. In fact, I'm going to check this out and we're going to come back and I want to elaborate a little bit more. I want to elaborate a little bit more on this kind of low and inside takeaway and show you something. If you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figured out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putty can be, head over to labgolf.com. All right, so we'll get into JJ more with Adam next week. I really want to talk about his swing and some of the things that they do. Check this out. This is a video that he sent me. We're going to talk about how he uses these devices to help him with his posture. A lot of interesting stuff. Adam's a great teacher. I don't think he gets enough credit. He works with Sam Ryder, who we've had on the podcast before, David Lipsky, who we've had on the podcast before, there's others. I mean, he's a very talented guy, and we'll break that down, all things JJ with him, and then amongst other things in this instruction space. And along those lines, one of the segments that we're going to bring back, and we had a lot of success with this over the years, was Show Us Your Swing. So all you got to do is take a video of your swing from down the line and send it to me, Travis, at Travis Fulton Golf. And we're going to start moving these into the podcast and we'll start giving you some lessons. So this week, this is a student of mine. that came in a couple weeks ago into the Ponte Vedra studio. And I'm going to play this swing on the video. First one's kind of fast, and then the second one is slower, right? So there's that. Now watch this. Watch the next one here. So watch this right here. You're going to see the club head really kind of get in behind the hands. This is a pattern that I see a lot where I want you to imagine this for those that are listening right now. Okay. And you can't, but really I'm just anybody that's just watching or listening. I'm going to paint this picture for you. Okay. So in the backswing, your hands go away from you, right? Like you take it back and your hands move. It's almost like you're trying to take your hand straight back. Your left arm comes off your chest and your hands move away from the body. Not around the body. They kind of move away. And then as they move away, the club head dips behind the hands. And usually because the left wrist takes on some early flexion. So the hands go away. The club head gets in behind. And that's what you see here in this pattern as I play it again. Watch this right here. Hands go out, club head goes in. Hands go out, club head goes in. When that happens, a couple things happen. One is the club shaft usually gets laid off. Okay, the club shaft usually gets laid off at the top. The shoulders turn very flat, pelvis very flat. You don't get that orientation where the right side is high enough. And so you get this flat club shaft and flat shoulder turn where your chest is kind of coming up and you're kind of pulled off the ball. Now, the only place you can oftentimes go from there is usually you see them come back down steep. He doesn't come down steep. He actually keeps it underneath, comes back down from the inside. He plays the ball position back in his stance, and then he kind of early releases it to get the club head up to it. And he hits it fairly straight, hits it thin, certainly can hit behind it because of that pattern, but adds loft to the face. And so I see this pattern, hands out, club head in. Now, there's some teachers that will say, look, you work around, that's okay. So a lot of guys take it too far inside. I'm one that'll at times let it go. But in this particular example, and most of the time I fix it. You know, look, I put my hand up. Like most of the time I fix it. And I fix it because what I've learned over the last 25 years is that when I take an amateur who doesn't play every day all day and I get them more organized in the backswing, the downswing and the impact position just becomes easier. And so the organization and putting the time in to get things where you want it going back creates a much higher probability for them to hit it on the center of the face with more speed. So here he is, the new swing, right? Watch this. Now the club head's more out and up, and the hands are more in. The shoulders and the pelvis are turning on a steeper angle, and the club shaft is now parallel at the top, which to him feels more across the line. And I'm telling you, the low point moved up, he got more shaft lean, and he felt the need to really rotate and open up more at impact. And that was the last thing that we worked on. Once we got it organized, we started getting him to use the ground and really open up. And his distance improved probably, I would say, 15 yards to 20 at times. Low point more up, more compression, more distance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what we did is we preset the wrist angle. Instead of the left wrist feeling flexed, his left wrist felt in radial, cocking the wrist up. And for those watching, you can see me cocking the wrist with a little bit of extension. He felt a little bit of extension in his left wrist, which felt like the handle was moving and the club head was staying back and the club head was kind of lagging back behind the handle as the handle was going in, a la Matthew Wolf. It's so interesting to me how many people I think need to feel Matthew Wolf. Not everybody. But this guy's looking at me saying, I feel like Matthew Wolf. You know, and it didn't look anything like Matthew Wolf, right? In fact, it looks like, play it again, it just goes right up the plane. Watch the club head right here. Just goes right up the plane, parallel, down the plane. Look at his head now. He's swiveling around, rotating left, Fantastic. Just by getting that backswing more organized. So as I sign off here in our first podcast for 2026, and I thank you for being here, we're going to have some fun this year. We are going to have some fun on the Stripe Show podcast. I'm excited. I'm motivated. We're going to get we're going to get the teachers back in here, and we're going to really jump into a lot of the segments, a lot of the things that are, you know, the buzzwords, right? Those are the buzz things that are happening, the flavors of the day, all the relevant things that are happening in professional golf and in instruction. One of them is, you know, the short game, right? The steep versus shallow. We'll get into that. But we're also going to get into the things that are plaguing you on the amateur level. And I want you to send me your swing. Show us your swing. Travis@TravisFultonGolf.com. Subscribe to the podcast. 5 stars. You got to do that, though, before you break it down. 5 stars. Leave us a comment. That's how we're doing. We're going to build this up again. But we're gonna look at your swings, and we're going to start breaking down common patterns. Common patterns that we see, that I see in the amateur game. And this is one of them right here. I'm going to play the old one again. Hands out, club head in. Right there. Look at the shaft. More laid off. Can't rotate. Low points move too far back. The fix, hands in, club head out. Left wrist feels more in radial, more extended. Right side of the pelvis higher. Left shoulder's more down. Feel steeper to him. Steeper. From there, got out of the way. Okay? So if you are someone who does that, hands out, club head in, I'm going to say fix it. I'm going to say fix it. Hands out, club head in early. If you've plateaued, right? You plateaued. You got to strongly consider fixing it. All right. Thank you for being here. Stripe Show Podcast is back next week. Adam Schreiber, we're going to have him on. Got a lot of cool stuff planned here. Breaking JJ down. Send me your swings. We'll get to it. Look at this. I'm looking outside right now. Winter is here. And it is 50 degrees in Ponte Vedra today, right? That's chilly for us, right? Some of you out there, you got all that snow and cold weather. Perfect time to get in, maybe think about your golf swing, send it in. We'll make some changes to it, and we'll get it moving in the right direction. All right, Travis Fulton here, Stripe Show Podcast. We are back. We'll see you next time with Adam Schreiber.